Good afternoon, friends, and welcome to the final edition of this week's program called The Grace Hour. I'm here with Pastor Gary Grimbold. I'm Pastor Rinaldo Brown. We've been talking about living our life beyond human limits, living beyond human limits. And for those of you new to the program, we are The Grace Hour podcast, which is a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us to learn and grow in our faith in a practical way. Hopefully you've been subscribing to get this on a regular basis, but you can join us. This is a tape program, so today you won't be able to join, but normally you can join us on Facebook and YouTube feeds. We'd love to hear your comments and questions, but today we're closing the week talking about charity, living our life behind human limits as it relates to charity in our life with God, Pastor Gary.
Wow, great subject. And so we got two directions we could go. Mm-hmm. I guess one way I'm thinking is agape, and mm-hmm. one is phileo love. Mm. And okay. So I don't know if that's what you were thinking, but first of all, we have to say is beyond human limits. Uh-huh. Do you really believe that that can happen in our life? Do you think that that's a possibility? Or is it just, you could say, rhetoric, something we just talk about?
Right.
And then we would say it really is with all of our heart. And we have tasted and seen that we have done that. And then we would want our listeners to know how to do it. Mm. Can it be experienced? Mm-hmm. You know, can I grow in it? And then once I do, you know, our conclusion today is like, it will solve so many problems in my life. Mm-hmm. It will bring so much glory to God. It will motivate my soul when I live with people like that. And love unfeigned also, right? And mm-hmm. that's in 1 Peter chapter 1, uh-huh. verse 22. It deals with a holiness. You're also touching holiness in the mind of God when you're loving unfeigned. Mm. And so, you know, it's like Moses, take off your shoes. Mm-hmm. You're on holy ground.
Right.
And, you know, in this relationship, I'm in with this person. You know, I used to hate them, but now I'm on holy ground. I have unfeigned love for them, right?
Wow.
Something's changed. And you say, well, I didn't have hate for them. Well, yeah, you did, because you had your natural thoughts. And, you know, you knew somebody after the flesh. And today we might call that hatred, right?
We would.
We might, you know, let's call that hatred, because we're going to talk about this phileo love way up here, mm-hmm. that is expressed to our brothers, mm. you know? Yeah, let's talk about something like that.
I like it. Yeah, there's this, because there's two, when we hear the word charity, it's not really, it's a King James word, but it's not a natural, practical word. So we think about it more about the principle than we think about the word. And the Bible talks about both. When we think about the principle of charity, we think about someone giving compassionately of themselves. And then there's the word for charity, which we know in the Bible translates to love, specifically agape love, so which is the word and the principle. And both are scriptural in the sense that agape love is given to us at the point of salvation, and we walk in it in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And really, that's what we're talking about on the program, walking in agape love and the life that follows that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then the principle is revealed in the life, that if I'm walking in love, in the principle, I mean, in the word rather, I will live out the principle.
Right.
Living in the word will produce the principle in a practical way in my life, which is also what we're talking about today.
Right. Exactly.
Living, walking in the love of God, and then expressing that love toward my fellow man, my brother, the phileo, the agape goes into phileo,
right,
because it's the right motivation. Right.
Yep.
But I could have the right, I could have the phileo, but it may not get me to the agape.
Amen.
It might not. I mean, there's a lot of guys that promote that. Like, we're brothers, let's push the brotherhood.
Right.
But that is unsustainable.
Right.
Without agape love, because we're not perfect.
Right. Wow. We're going down a great track here already, isn't it? This is beautiful. Agape. Mm-hmm. Agape love. You know, we think of the first word we think of is unconditional. Mm-hmm. So we think of it's the object is not controlling the love. The subject is controlling the love. God loves us. Mm-hmm. And this is what's beautiful about our language, is that we have, it's not like I do something, you know, I produce a good soup, you know, my wife produces a good soup and then I love her. Mm-hmm. No, I love her.
Right.
I love her, and God loves us, and God produces this love, and it's goes on an object. It floods an object. Mm-hmm. This object feels so secure in that love. This agape mm-hmm. being turned into phileo. It expresses itself mm-hmm. all around a person. So there's security, right?
Yes.
When a person is inside of that agape love, they feel secure. Where does a person feel insecure? Mm. It's when they don't sense agape.
Interesting. Okay. So, and I think that's where you least feel like a Christian, when you don't sense the love of God. So it's so interesting. We would say,
I thought you were going to go the other way, but then, go ahead.
If you don't sense the Holy Spirit,
yes.
Believers struggle with discerning the Holy Spirit, but love is a lot more graspable because I can identify with it from a natural perspective to a spiritual perspective. So oftentimes believers will cringe, and you think, how come you don't feel born again? How come you don't? And the security that they're lacking is not so much the presence of God. That takes a bit of maturity to pick
beautiful.
Up.
Beautiful.
But anyone, when you walk in a situation with someone and you don't feel loved, that's palatable. That's clear.
Yes.
So if I walk into a church, it's not that I walk in the church and I don't feel accepted because I don't sense the presence of God. It's because I don't sense the love of God.
That's beautiful.
I don't sense it.
That's beautiful. So this is why mm-hmm. we guard our mind when we're thinking about people.
Okay.
So that we don't develop these lines mm-hmm. and we live in deception. We think we're loving people, mm-hmm. but we're not. The object has produced something, mm-hmm. so I don't love it. I don't love it, and it goes in my mind, and now there's a condition. They must change before I love them. They feel there's a condition on them.
Okay.
You know, they come into the congregation. Right, they feel, that's what they may feel mm-hmm. is there's a condition. But agape love releases a person from that feeling like there's a condition upon them to perform for them to be loved.
So how does that play out practically? Okay. I'm John Smith. Right. I walk into a church.
Right. Right. Now,
maybe the average believer, I would like to believe the average believer walks into a church and they're trying to discern the presence of God. Or they meet a Christian in the street and they're trying to discern the presence of God. But actually, their antennas have kind of pointed a little lower. It's more about the love of God. Like the first thing people say, like Pastor Maciek was on Missions Monday recently, and he said, I came into the church as an 18-year-old boy. And I had a Catholic background, and I walked in. He said, these people, these American missionaries were so loving to me. He didn't say I sensed the power of the presence of God. I kind of just think that's a little bit down the road maturity wise, but it's that love. So I'm John Smith. I walk into the church. I don't discern that type of love.
Okay.
There might be a welcome package. There might be a welcome. Yep. I might get the vocabulary. But love is something that's kind of like fluid. It's almost like it's intangible.
Yeah.
But you know when someone's loved you.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So in other words, I guess it starts with me, would you say?
Are you the one that's walking into the church?
Yeah, I'm John Smith. I am a believer.
John Smith?
So it starts with me? Would you say it starts with me?
Okay. That's a good question. We could argue or discuss that a lot. But what I was thinking, it does. We can go there. But I was thinking, as you're saying, how do you feel that love? It's consistent, impulses mm-hmm. or initiations from God. The person at the door says, hey, good morning. Mm-hmm. You know, the person at the seat, hey, you can sit over here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, and you sense, you know, a smile on someone on the worship team.
Right.
And you have multiple impressions. You start to feel secure in love, and your fears are being arrested.
Yes.
They're being calmed. This is one aspect of agape love, mm-hmm. that it initiates from many sides. Mm-hmm. You're right. It has a manifestation from many sides.
Okay.
And this creates a security. So then you, mm-hmm. John Smith.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, am I available? Am I available? You have to think of yourself like, can I just receive love? Can I be like, can I drop my guard down and receive something from somebody? Receiving is very important. And, you know, can I receive this agape? Imagine if you have this shield, this panzer, this, you know, steel protection around you when you come in and you're not going to receive love. But this agape love goes through the panzer, you know, into the steel, and it mm-hmm. penetrates it. This is the power of God, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. This is, you know, yeah. God loved us while we're yet sinners. I was a panzer and, mm-hmm. you know, God's love isn't going to touch me. And no one seeks God, no, not one.
Exactly.
And then God's love comes into my life. Mm. Okay.
Huh. That's powerful. That the love of God, this is why it never fails. And the key word that it never fails really is consistency.
Yeah.
And you say, yeah. it's like water on a rock kind of an idea. But I want to think too, like, okay, I'm available, but that availability to be vulnerable. I mean, right now, mankind, society's ability to receive is at an all time low.
Wait, say it again.
Mankind's ability to receive is at an all-time low because that's why there's so many walls and barriers. Number one, because I'm being bombarded by, I don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
I don't know what truth is.
Yeah.
So number one, I've got suspicion and skepticism. Number two, the second thing is people are pretty damaged and they've internalized it. So like what I was receiving before, I received from so-and-so and so-and-so and they hurt me.
Yes.
So now with the scar tissue of years possibly in the church, outside of the church, when I walk into a church, meet another believer, I rented a room one time in, I think it was Zimbabwe. I rented a room and we're going to do a meeting in there. And then I said, okay, so we'll be here on Sunday and we're at the church. She said, well, the last people from the church, they hurt me. She said, they cheated me out of my rent and they destroyed the windows and they hurt me. And I said to her, I said, I'm sure it happened. They're from a church. They're not the church. It's just like with your family. You have some people in your family that can hurt you and some that haven't hurt you, but you don't judge the family for that. And she looked at me and she says, it's true. Okay. I'll let you guys rent here for a little bit. And we stayed there for a good while, actually. But it's very clear to me that people, the reason why they cannot live life beyond their humanity is because they spend too much focus on the depravity of their humanity. It's so massive in their life. They're so overwhelmed by it. It becomes their focus. How can I live beyond that?
Right.
That's the question of the day. How can I live beyond that and be a receiver of agape love and be a expresser? Because some people have tried to, in the natural, express love and have gotten bad results. So it's never dawned on them that love was not God's love. So like they'll say, we've fallen out of love. We don't love each other anymore. I don't love so-and-so. As you said earlier, the hate creeps in. The less than love creeps in, right?
Yep.
So something's got to happen on a larger level or it's good. Because I still say it this way, Pastor. People think that the love of God is theirs to control. Love the producer said, but I decide not to love you. That love becomes, I weaponize it. It becomes my instrument. Instead of being an instrument of love, love becomes my instrument. And as long as love is in my control, it's got human limits.
Amen. And then it doesn't affect my soul the way it's supposed to. And so what would we say? That person is living in fear, actually. Mm. Because let's just read that verse, okay? In 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. There's no fear in love.
Yeah.
Love's not going to produce fear. Love doesn't come into our life and then makes you fearful or hurt you. Mm-hmm. It says, but perfect love casts out fear. Mm-hmm. It sanctifies right. what it touches. Mm-hmm. It makes something pure. It makes something holy. It makes your soul secure. That's amazing. It chases away. It chases away all of those fears. So we try it. It's like the perfect medicine mm-hmm. for my depression, for my depravity, for my unforgiveness, for my hatred. It just solves all of those problems. It brings in perfect liberty when love comes in my soul, right? Imagine, I was thinking of the multiple sides of love, just a baby wrapped up with a bottle in its mouth, warm in its mother's arms, in the perfect cotton blanket, mm-hmm. With the perfect little cap on. Many sides of love with the perfect music on, the perfect temperature in the room. Mm-hmm. It's so secure right there.
Right.
Okay. And this is what we're talking about parenting. If you love in an imbalanced way, if you're trying to always make up for something that you think you are lacking, that's mm-hmm. not love, right? Wow. It's not going to create security for your child. It's this complete agape love that transforms a child's life. It is never go ahead.
Stay there for a second. So you're saying that the parent is loving the child based on personal security.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a powerful statement. And we do that with people. I'm loving you as long as I'm secure.
Okay.
I could care less about your security.
Wow,
it's about
beautiful.
My security. That's the bottom floor of Eros love.
Like
at the bottom.
A mother is afraid that the baby's going to cry. Mm-hmm. No, I love the baby and I don't live in fear that it's going to cry.
Excellent. That's a good
point. I don't, I love, everything is perfect. I just don't give them a bottle and say, I love you. Don't you see? I love you. Mm-hmm. Everything is perfect. And so it's a multi-sided love mm-hmm. and that child feels so secure in that. And you're not trying for them to not to do something. Mm-hmm. You're giving them that environment of love. Awesome. And many times parenting, it fails because you're trying to make that, you want results, and those results is what you're looking for so you can advance to that agape love. No, mm-hmm. you have agape love and there's no conditions attached. You don't have to do anything for me. And then all of a sudden that child feels like, oh, I've never been, I was like, and now the parent becomes the head and they're no longer the tail.
Wow.
Right? And and otherwise it's like, okay, so now we've got, yeah, okay, anyway, I like
the thought. I like the idea that agape love is not based out of insecurity.
Right.
See, if I'm insecure and I'm loving you, I'm going to use my love manipulatively in the relationship to pull security for myself.
Yes, yes.
So many times you're right. As a parent, you don't, it's like the parent who lives vicariously through his kid. I didn't make the NFL. So my 3'4" son is going to be a quarterback no matter what. Cause I didn't make it. I'm going to make sure he makes it.
Yes.
And I'm getting my security vicariously through driving him. And this is me loving you. You're going away to football camp for 6 months.
Right.
This is me loving you. This is what love looks like when really it's
Lord.
About me. That's a scary version. It's Luke 18, the Pharisee, Lord, I. It's like seven personal pronouns, like I. But I want to go back a little bit in the conversation. You made a connection. I don't want us to run past. You connected holiness and love.
Yeah.
Which is a rare connection because in our mind's eye, we talk about living in holiness for God, living beyond the natural is a holy life. And living beyond the natural, we want to believe, is a loving life. But making the marriage between the idea of God's love and God's holiness is a very unique thought.
Okay. I just want to look at one quick word because you're making me think of it. I'm sorry, I'm not ready for this, but I want to look up this one word. It's in 1 Peter 1, verse 22.
Okay.
Because I think it does. So this is the way it is. 1 Peter 1, 22.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is holiness. Seeing you have purified, mm-hmm. hagios,
mm-hmm.
holiness, purified your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So it's relieved of needs of impulses that come into it, just natural impulse. It's purified by God. It's been made holy. Okay, your souls obeying the truth through the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Okay, and then here it is. It's this unfeigned love. It means it's not hagios, right. But your soul is purified. So here's this love. It's everything has been pushed. It's catharsis. Mm-hmm. Everything's pushed out of my soul now. This holy love has perfected my soul, and all of that garbage, that defilement, is pushed out of my soul. And now I'm able to love the brethren. This is an amazing thing. And this is what agape love actually, holy love actually does. It comes in, it loves my soul. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm living in truth. I'm pure. It has catharticized, or it has pushed out everything that is unholy. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's this cleansing that has happened in my soul. So now I'm able to love you. But if that doesn't happen, I don't love you because something in my soul is putrefied. It's damaged. Wow. It's not able to love you.
That's a very deep thought.
Yeah. So that's right there in 1 Peter.
Let's slow that bus down. That's a pretty big thought. What you're saying, if I'm getting this correctly, is that when Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in our heart.
Yes.
2 Corinthians 5:14, that God's constraining, that this love, as it moves operationally, experientially, that life purifies.
Yes.
So you're saying that the love of God sanctifies us.
Yes.
The love of God comes in and cleanses. This is a fresh way to see the love of God. So when we say, that's why you're able to, as a believer, to walk in truth and walk in love. Amen. Because the argument is always that when you walk in love, you're tempted to compromise the truth.
Mm.
Or when you walk in truth, there's no love in your truth. You're just hard. But you're saying they're two sides of the same sword, that I'm walking in love and I'm walking in the Spirit in truth, and that the love works in a purifying way, unlike the Word of God.
Whoa.
So that's a deep thought. I mean, that, okay, God, fill me with your love today. It purifies me. Now, it doesn't just purify me the way I see God and the way I see myself, but it purifies my mind of the way I see people. And that's why, this is a good thought here, 1 Corinthians 13, love does not rejoice about an iniquity.
No.
Because it's purified. So let's say Joe Smith over there does something bad. I don't know that. I don't know Joe Smith after the flesh about that, because love has purified the way I see it. But also, a case in point, like in you think about in the 60s and the 50s in America, when someone committed a crime and they went to jail.
Right.
You would say, okay, he went to jail. When he went to go get a job, the first thing that was recalled or rehearsed was he went to jail, which is truth. He did, or the factual anyway, he went to jail. But then he would quickly say, I paid my debt to society. But no one wants to hear that part.
Right.
They exclude that. They just went, the fact that you went to jail, that alone disqualifies you from a job.
Right.
That enough alone, there was no space for further. But what love does is love purifies me, so that whether they pay their debt to society, whether they've been in prison, that no longer is the issue. I can see them clean. And that's why there's a capacity to love the brethren. Because without the purifying of the love of God, we would all see each other in the flesh. And the best we could have is a natural love for each other, even as the body of Christ.
Right.
That's a great thought. Yeah. That's a great thought.
Yeah. You said earlier, you spoke about love and truth, but you just spoke about does not rejoice in iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Iniquity, it's, you could say, doesn't rejoice in some, it doesn't rejoice in God's, it doesn't rejoice in someone living outside of God's way. Iniquity, and I remember studying that once, and it leaves someone lonely. If you rejoice in someone's iniquity, it leaves you lonely and detached from God. You're thinking wrong.
Wow.
Let's just look at that first. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Mm-hmm. It's verse 6.
Verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Rejoices not in iniquity, mm-hmm. but rejoices in truth.
There it is.
There it is.
Yep.
And when you rejoice in truth, there's plurality. It opens your soul up for the body of Christ. When you rejoice in iniquity, you isolate yourself and you're an individual. You're all alone. And husband and wife, you're only two. It makes you alone. It divides you. Mm. It absolutely divides any relationship and it doesn't make you complete. But when you rejoice in truth, it's plurality. Mm-hmm. It opens you up to relationships. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is what, you know, 1 Corinthians 13:6 speaks about. Mm-hmm. And this is this amazing agape love, you know, and producing phileo love. You know, all amongst us, it has its fruit right here. That verse 6 is an extremely powerful verse.
Agreed, yes.
And because of that aspect, truth.
Yes.
It's amazing. Yes. Yeah. It's amazing.
Because when you think of holy love, that's a moral expression. In religion, that's a moral expression.
Yeah, yes, like, it is.
Holy love is, okay, I don't have premarital sex. Holy love is I operate a certain way with my spouse. Holy love is I'm a certain way with the brethren. But no one ever really suggests that it has a purifying, sanctifying element to it. Today, that's very fresh.
Oh,
that's very fresh. See, to elevate beyond, to look at the love of God, to elevate beyond the moral implications – to something like that's more sanctifying, because that's much more, that's true holiness.
We see that again.
Because see, the holiness is not just about the moral satisfaction.
Right.
So when we talk about, it's like sanctification. What is sanctification? Okay, that's holiness. That's practical holiness. What does that mean? That is a practical purification that God cleanses me of all unrighteous thoughts and thinking and things. So I'm cleansed. And the fruit of that is I have a capacity now. Because love is, I have a capacity to love my brethren. A lot of the incapacity we have in loving the brethren is not because of our own ability, but our own frailty. We remember too much. I can't love producer Sip. I can't love him. No, why can't, because I don't have the ability. No, the biggest problem with me loving producer Seb is I know too much about producer Seb.
Yes,
so the love of God floods my mind in Romans 5:5 and washes my conscious mind clean, which creates a capacity in me to see him in the cross and love him unconditionally. Without that, I've got to know what I know about him and decide to love him anyway.
Oh, yuck. Yuck. I don't like that. I don't like that. I like the other way where I'm purified.
Yes.
And then I have this. It's a response to a clean soul that I actually love him instead of going around casting down thoughts and he's got enough thought. I got enough. I've done it and now I can actually. No, it's not that.
Yeah.
It's not that. It's the purifying of your soul towards people. Wow. Like, hey, this is liberating. Yeah.
Then you're free. Cause then you're free. It's like, love covers a multitude of sins. What does that really mean? Does that mean that love forgives? Yes. Does that mean that love papers over? No.
Right.
What it means is love has purified my mind towards you about sin so that I'm free to love you.
Amen.
I'm free to love you and not ignore the sin, but I'm also free to love you not in spite of the sin. I'm free to love you and sin has nothing to do with it.
Amen.
Because if Jesus paid all the sins on the cross, the issue between love and man is now relationship, really, technically, scripturally.
Right.
When
right.
sin is taken off the table because of the cross, what's between me and you? If we have not love in 1 Corinthians 13, what do we have? Last four or seven words of 1 Corinthians 13:4. We have nothing.
Yeah, we have
nothing. Nothing, really.
We have nothing. Yeah.
Nothing. I love that idea that love purifies. And that's why in my relationship with God, if love is the key, in my relationship with people, love will be the key. If it's agape love between me and God, him towards me and me living in it, then it's agape love. Same way, objectively, love for my brother that he participates in. He may or may not reciprocate, but he participates in through exposure.
Yep.
And then the real living in it is in me.
Because
that's what God does with us.
Yeah.
God is love. And then we get love.
Yep.
He shines it abroad. Like we would shed it abroad. He shines it abroad.
But then how we respond to it doesn't change the rain. It's the same deal. So when we love somebody else, whether they reciprocate or not, and this is what we struggle with. We struggle with an expectation for reciprocation. Well, he didn't love me. He's supposed to love me. Well, I loved him. I've been loving him for 15 years. He hasn't loved me back. I forgave him. I lent my whole to him. He didn't give it back. I mean, it becomes this transactional love. Like, I love you. That's how human love is transactional. I love you as long as I get something out of it. And as long as what's required for it is not beyond my expectation. Like, okay, if I give you this, you'll give me that. It's transactional. And the problem with that is so fragile that if you stop giving what you've been giving, it's done. If they stop giving, they find second worst case, ugly version, I go find somebody else or something else that gives it better or gives me more or gives me less. Transactional. This is living in love in human limits.
Yes.
So how do I get beyond that? I guess it starts with me and God, I would say. Short answer, obviously, is the Holy Spirit. But I don't think Christianity is just like the Holy Spirit comes in and hijacks us and grills us without our participation in it.
No.
So in my free will, by faith, I have to contemplate these things in the mind of God and the Spirit, say, okay, God, teach me how to think.
Amen.
Scary version, teach me how to love.
Yeah.
The one thing you walk in a church and you believe you know how to do is love.
Right.
So when they would have a message today on how to love, you're going to walk out. I don't need that lesson. That's like too small. It's like kindergarten Christianity. We learned that in Sunday school. Have we? That's the question. Have we? Really? No. Have we? If you see what happens in today's churches, do you see the expression of agape love? Really?
Right.
Do you see that? Do you sense that when you're in the body of Christ? Do you sense that? Why is there such a drought? There's no agape love conferences.
Right.
No tent meetings on agape love. Hey, come here. The famous evangelist is going to be preaching on agape love.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
You would think that I've seen truth. I've seen miracles. I've seen healing. But on love, it's the subject we talk the most about and know the least about. Really.
Yeah, we've solved problems today, haven't we?
Sure.
We solved relational problems today. And we've given a tool in people, in our hands today to actually live in this and the way and the how to actually do this and the motivation. The motivation and the results of what happens when we live in agape love producing brotherly love, right?
And personal purity. I mean,
yeah,
you want to have purity rings and talk about purifying yourself, and I want to throw out all my rap music and throw out all my rock and roll and make all those kind of changes. Okay. But if you have not love.
Right.
If you have not love.
You have nothing.
Yeah. We've had a great program. This has been exciting, actually. Way to close out our week, Pastor Gary. Thank you for coming in today. This is exciting. This is great.
It is.
I like the idea that what we've said today is seeds.
Yeah, I feel like the same way. I feel I want to go home and think about this. What we actually talked about today. I'm like, stop there. I'm going to listen to this myself to get thoughts. So
awesome.
This is great.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for the coffee, Seb.
Thank you for joining us on the Grace Hour. You didn't get coffee, but that's okay. Tune in on Monday. We'll be back. I think we'll be on Monday. I think it'll be on Monday for the Grace Hour. Don't forget to subscribe, Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon Music, podcast. We'd love for you to be a regular subscriber, join our family. This weekend at 9, 11, and 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, we have service at 6025 Moravia Park Drive. Please come down and be with us. And let's walk in the love of God together. Until next week, take care.